Hey, thanks for listening to Car Talk. Now here's another podcast that interests me. It's a new one from NPR called The Hidden Brain. Now, that title alone gives me some hope that I'll someday be able to find mine. Maybe it's just hiding. Actually, The Hidden Brain is hosted by NPR's Shankar Vedantam, who this week explores a conversational phenomenon called switch tracking. That's when two people think they are talking about the same thing, but then figure out they're not. That's the Hidden Brain podcast. Subscribe now on the NPR One app, iTunes, or npr.org/podcasts. And don't miss an episode. This episode of Car Talk is supported by AT&T. With AT&T, the network is on demand, the office is mobile, and the cloud is designed for high security. Learn more at att.com/focus. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Retail Nomenclature Division here at Car Talk Plaza, whatever that means.
Well, this is from a guy that we actually know. His name is Bill Swislow, and I guess he doesn't have enough to do. So he spent his time at work putting together a book full of embarrassing business names.
Uh-huh.
It's called Bizarre Bazaar.
Got it.
Got it?
Got it.
These are actual businesses, and he has them separated into categories, like the Department of Low Expectations. In there, we find the following. Adequate Electric. Decent Convenience. Bob's Fairly Reliable Used Cars.
Well, that's pretty
that
accurate.
One's good.
Accurate description, right?
And the motel, which is called It'll Do Motel.
Good enough.
All right, now these are from the Department of Strange Combinations. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Ave's Taxidermy and Cheese. What?
Well, hey, you wonder which business started first.
How about Funeral Supplies and Daycare Center? Booze and Bail. And then there's the Department of Simply Unfortunate Names.
These are bad.
Doom and Son Funeral Home. I mean, you'd think that they would go in a different business. Doom?
Well, with a name like Doom, you don't have many choices,
right? You don't
have
any choices.
No, it might be good. Maybe they chose, maybe that's why that's their name.
Maybe it is. Who knows? How about Armageddon Carpet Cleaners? How about Covert Motel?
I like it. It says everything.
Alky's Liquors.
That's my favorite.
Well, Bill, all I can say is good work. This is the kind of thing that the world needs more of.
Well, I'm sure our listeners are going to send in many more of these, either real or fictitious. But if you have a question about a sign that you're getting from your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah. I'm calling from Seattle.
Sarah?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, and I have a question regarding my 95 Honda Odyssey minivan.
Yeah.
It was stolen twice in one day recently.
Someone stole it from the guys who stole it?
No. The original guys who stole it moved it one block away from my apartment building and then ended up stealing my neighbor's 10-year-old Subaru and abandoning my car with like a 4-inch switchblade on the top of it that they had left there and some of their stuff inside. And the cops got there, and I got the car back, and I ran some errands, came back home, parked it, and went downstairs 2.5 hours later, and it was gone again. I didn't get it back for about 7 days, and almost everything was gone from the inside except for jumper cables and a bag of trail mix.
Oh, well, the first guys who stole it made it easier for the second guys to steal it because they popped the ignition.
Yeah, but the problem is that the cops think that the thieves may have made an imprint of my key or made a copy of my key at some point. And I went to the dealership to get repairs done after it was stolen, and they said that they couldn't change up the ignition to a secure ignition for the car. The 95 doesn't have, like, a chip in the key.
That's right.
And yeah. I'm wondering what I can do to prevent my car from being stolen.
But a 125-pound Rottweiler will do it.
But they did put in a new ignition switch.
No, they haven't.
They haven't.
Uh-uh.
Why?
How are you starting the car now? With your key?
Yeah, I can start it with my key. Like, there's been no problem in starting the car.
Oh, in fact, you can probably start it with a screwdriver as well. No, they damaged the lock. They had in order for them, if they didn't have a key with which to start it,
they broke it.
They broke the lock that the key goes into.
And at the very least, the dealership should put in a new ignition switch with a different key.
But I'm confused a little bit here. Maybe what they did, if they didn't in fact damage the lock, is maybe they had a key made using your vehicle identification number, which is doable.
That's possible.
If they knew the right people.
Yeah.
And so maybe these guys have someone on the inside that's, and there must be a big market for 95 Odyssey minivans.
When I took it into the dealership, they said it was the first Odyssey they had ever seen stolen.
Right. Yeah, the guys who took it didn't even really want to take it, right? They abandoned it after a block.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think I'd be too worried about it. You probably would be better off. You can't really change the ignition, but you can get aftermarket things put on that will shut off the fuel system and or the starter motor. So even if that person does have a key to your car, that thief, or decides to break the ignition, the car still won't start because you will have an alarm system which will disarm the fuel pump and the ignition system and make the car unstartable. And those are the equivalent of having a, you know, one of these keys with a chip in it.
Okay.
Right? So you can do that's a few hundred bucks.
Is there I'm a college student. Is there any cheap but effective ways of
Yeah, 120-pound Rottweiler.
Well, I mean, there are cheap ways to do it, because if you have a secret switch somewhere that prevents electricity from getting to the coil, you can just put a switch underneath the dashboard somewhere. And some mechanic can do that for $50 for you.
That's a good idea. You want a kill switch installed.
Okay. Thank you so much.
That's the cheapest way out.
See you, Sarah.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Jeremy from Conway Springs, Kansas.
Hi, Jeremy. Conway Springs,
huh? Conway Springs. I'm writing this down because I won't remember it. Kansas.
That's it. It's a
Excellent.
Little bitty town.
Yeah.
It sounds like a quaint little place.
It is quaint.
Is that like corn country or
no, it's
whatever
wheat
you guys?
Country.
Wheat. Wheat, not
Lots
meat.
Wheat,
you meathead.
Wheat.
So what's going on, Jeremy?
Well, it's kind of a two-part question.
Mm.
I have a 94 Jeep Cherokee with the 4-liter 6 in it.
Uh-huh.
And I had to replace the water pump.
Uh-huh.
It used to, when you start it up, it would start and the engine would kind of surge. You know, it would go up to about 1,500 RPM.
Mm-hmm.
And then drop down, and it idled about 800 RPM.
And now it goes,
Well, kind of, yeah. When you start it, it just goes right up to 800 RPM. It doesn't surge up or anything. It just starts and just goes right to the idle speed. And it seems to have lost a lot of power, too.
Really?
Lost
well,
power?
Well, not a lot of power, but yeah, a little bit of power when you're driving down the road. And the gas mileage has gotten a little worse.
So you say
adding things on.
Adding symptoms.
Yeah,
so the mileage is bad, the power's bad. How's the paint? The paint all right?
Hey, the paint's great.
All right, you said you had a two-part question. That's part one. What's part two? Maybe we can answer that one.
Part two has to do with the old water pump that I took off.
Yeah.
The impeller blade on there was almost totally gone.
Really?
It was just like a disc sticking on the shaft, and I just wondered what
So
could
the veins were gone.
Right, the veins were completely gone.
Yeah, you know why? I'm going to answer both questions.
Okay.
At the same time, with the same answer.
No, I'm going to answer
That's
going to
be tricky.
I'm ready to answer the first one, but I don't remember what the question was. What was the question?
Why doesn't it go up to 1,500?
Oh, yeah. See, I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Did you change the water pump yourself?
Uh-huh.
You did.
Ah.
Good question,
How did you know that?
Well,
that was like a Sherlock Holmes question. Zoom! You just right in there with a knife. Vroom!
I suspect that in doing so, you damaged the coolant temp sensor.
Uh-huh.
Not by hitting it with something, but by forcing it to run with insufficient coolant.
Okay.
So that the coolant temp sensor is not immersed in water or wasn't, and that probably ruined it.
Okay.
So you may need a new coolant temp sensor, and that would restore your mileage.
Uh-huh.
It will restore the fast idle.
Okay.
See,
and
that's
restore
what tells,
your faith in humanity.
It tells the computer that the engine is cold, and so it should be revving up.
Oh, okay.
And if it's not sending a signal to the computer says, gee, is the engine cold or is it warm? I don't know.
So it should have turned on the check engine light, but that's probably broken, too. You must have broken that as well.
I didn't get anywhere near that, I hope.
Now, the other question, the reason the thing is worn down to a nub is the, and the answer is Conway Springs, Kansas.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I'd say you have a lot of minerals in your water, hard water in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
And I think the hard water has ruined your, well, hard water. It must be, I got it, the impeller's banging against that hard water.
Very hard water. It's very hot. It actually abrades.
Exactly. It's right. Like throwing rocks against your water pump.
Yeah, they just wore away, man.
Oh, okay.
No, they were corroded away.
Yeah, and that's...
From stuff in the water, in all likelihood.
So should I just... flush it real well and use distilled water in it?
Well, distilled water is hungry water, as we know. But yeah, I would probably use distilled water and antifreeze.
Is that the reason you replaced the water pump, or was it leaking?
Oh, no, that's the reason. It wasn't turning any water. It wasn't doing anything.
Did you figure that out by yourself? That's a difficult diagnosis.
Well, that's very good.
I just figured out that it wasn't circulating any water. I replaced, I did the easy thing.
This is after you did the thermostat, the radiator, the radio, the grid, right?
Yeah. Well, I did the easy thing first and just replaced the thermostat.
Yeah, of
course.
Because
it was overheating, and that didn't do anything. And then I noticed that there was, when you turn the heater on, even though the car was, you know, 6 bazillion degrees,
There was
no
heat.
Hot air.
Good for you.
So I figured it wasn't circulating water.
Jeremy, that's very, very good. Are you interested in doing a talk show?
Do you have an opening?
We have an opening,
Oh, yeah, we got an opening, all right.
It's right between our ears.
We can do it from Conway Springs, Kansas, here.
Indeed.
Any place you want to do it.
We'll be there tomorrow.
Okay.
See you, Jeremy.
Thank you very much, guys.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
That was very good.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Liz. I'm calling from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Hi, Liz.
How you doing?
Fine, thanks. I have a stinky car problem. I have a Honda Accord, and a smell that I would say is similar to BO and something dead happens only when the sunroof is open and I'm in motion.
Oh, huh? Really?
Yes, and it goes away when I roll the windows down.
Wait. If the windows are up,
right,
and the sunroof is open,
right, and I'm in motion,
and you're in motion, you get the smell.
Yes.
If you leave the sunroof open, but open the windows as well, the smell goes away.
Yes.
I love it.
Well, it may be going
I
away.
I know exactly what it is.
Because
I got a.
Have you been in her car?
I've got a. Oh. Such an elegant solution to
this. Well, don't let me stand in your way. In fact, I'll leave the room.
When did you spill the stuff?
Nothing. It happened. It acutely came on 2 weeks ago.
It did?
Yeah.
Was it after a rainstorm?
No.
She's giving me all the wrong answers.
Yeah, go ahead. Now you know how I feel.
Right after a hot day when you had the air conditioning running?
No.
Oh, go ahead. You got 5 more questions before you slash your wrists.
Well, I don't know what the smell is, but I know why she's getting it when under these circumstances. There's something in the carpet.
Okay.
You open the sunroof. What happens? As we know, the Bernoulli effect immediately.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And whatever is in the car... gets
sucked.
We
won't explain what the Bernoulli principle is, but suffice it to say that it is drawing whatever air is in the car out through
the sunroof.
The sunroof.
Ah.
Right. It's sucking the air right up past your nose. Right?
Okay.
And you smell it.
Yeah.
When you open the windows, there's so much air now that the smell is diluted. And you don't smell it
anymore. Right, you don't get the Bernoulli effect anymore. You get the Gumbatz effect.
Yeah, exactly.
So why doesn't it smell when I get in the car and it's been closed like all night long with windows rolled up and everything?
It will eventually, I predict.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's mold.
Ew!
And I think it's from water that got into... the car.
From the night that you left the sunroof open.
Yeah, right.
You didn't mention that, did you? Yeah, she's laughing.
No, she didn't do that.
Yeah, you did, huh?
No, I didn't.
You could have.
She didn't do that.
I didn't do that.
Yeah.
So what can I do?
You're in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
Is there, you know, we used to have around here one of these Army Navy stores where they sold surplus stuff.
Uh-huh.
You need to go to one of these places and buy a flamethrower. because there's almost nothing that will kill mold spores.
Oh, yeah.
Except flames and bleach.
Bleach does it.
And, oh. and intense sunlight.
Oh.
But if it really is mold, and we've had people send us in all kinds of remedies, none of which have ever worked. What I consider satisfactorily. The only thing that ever has worked is bleach, which you can't put on the rug because it'll discolor it, or removing the rug, or at least exposing the interior of the car to intense direct sunlight.
See, I suspect that you have a leak somewhere.
Okay.
Like a windshield.
Like a windshield, exactly. And that's where the moisture came from that caused the mold.
Okay, I have a question. Maybe this is the source.
Okay, go ahead.
My newly wedded husband
was
eating a banana and threw the peel down on the carpet, like maybe a month ago.
Nah.
And then began to step on it on accident.
He's an animal!
Yes.
Yes, and you know what kind of an animal he is? He's a monkey! He's eating bananas. No, I don't think that would have caused it.
No.
Give him a kiss and tell him you're sorry.
Nice try.
Tell him you're sorry you blamed him.
That's right.
Good luck, Liz.
Thank you.
See ya.
See you later. Well,
bye-bye. You'll never get rid of that smell. Hi. All right, look, I hate to do this to you, Tommy, but I need you to think back and try, if you can, to remember last week's puzzle. Remember we were doing this before the puzzle went on vacation?
I remember we used to do this. You'd say, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Yeah, well, I didn't think it.
Puzzler.
We're going to go for some hints. You ready?
Okay.
These are fill in the blank. You ready?
Yeah.
It's been a good 30 years since you last wore a blank.
A dress. That was just a youthful indiscretion. It was just a period I was
No, I wasn't looking for that. The answer was a tie.
Oh, a tie.
Yeah, right. The dress thing, we I don't think we want to let that out of there.
I don't think everyone knew
about
that.
Did you want to mention that?
I'm sorry I mentioned it. No, I thought you knew.
Try this one.
Okay.
If your goat was pregnant, she'd have a litter of blanks.
Who told you about my goat?
A litter of kids.
Kids.
Kids, yeah, you got it.
Oh.
The puzzler was about three kids and a tied election. And we'll be back with the answer in just a minute. The dress, huh?
Driving down the interstate, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen the hills turn into fields and the rivers turn to streams. A lot of space from here to there, but everywhere you go. It's 18 when they're making time on its way back home.
Even though our children petition the courts to change their last names to Bajoli whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to take time to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. At TireRack.com, you can view their test results, user ratings, and reviews to help you select the right tires for your car. TireRack.com has over a million tires in their warehouse, so you'll never get talked into compromise like I did when I came home with four bicycle tires on my 97 Honda Odyssey. At Tire Rack, when you find the right tires, they can be delivered to a local recommended installer in as little as one business day. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler, the first puzzler of the season.
Oh!
And I admit it was an easy one. We didn't want to stress.
It sure
was. We didn't want to stress anyone out, especially us.
Yeah.
And here it is. There's a high school election for senior class president, and there are three kids running, Tom, Tad, and Tim. As luck would have it, they each get exactly the same number of votes. One. There's a lot of apathy in that particular school, I guess. Anyway, the principal calls Tom, Tad, and Tim into his office and says, look, guys, we could have another election, but there's a pretty good chance that the count's going to come out exactly the same. So let's just throw each of your names into a hat, and I'll pull one out, and that'll be the winner, okay? Well, they all agree.
Sure.
So he takes a clean sheet of, you know, plain white paper, 8.5 by 11, and he folds it into thirds. And then, like teachers often do, holding the paper on the sharp edge of his desk, He tears the paper so that three pieces are exactly, or pretty much exactly, the same size. He hands each kid a piece and says, write your name here. All right, put an X if you don't.
You put an X, you put a Y. What's a Y?
And just to make sure it's on the up and up, he says, guys, you can blindfold me. And I'm going to hold the hat. We're going to put the three names in a hat. And I'm going to hold the hat above my head. And I'm going to reach in and pull out the winner's name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the principal wants Tad to win because the other two kids are knuckleheads. And he thinks, if either one of these kids becomes president, the school is going down and I'm going to lose my job. So the question is, how does the principal fix it so Tad wins?
Yeah.
Well, I said it was pretty easy, but I'm sure that it just, you know, must have.
Yeah. Given most people had the answer before you even asked the question.
Well, it's because you're astute and you're obviously.
A stupid what?
You were obviously above average intellect.
Yeah, okay.
And lucky. Well, when the principal, in order to rig it, what the principal did simply is he tore the sheet into three exactly the same size pieces, but he gave the middle piece to Tad.
Of course.
And it had two factory edges and two rough edges.
I'm going to try it right now and see if that really works.
And of course. And the other pieces, which came from not the middle but the top and the bottom, had three factory edges and one torn edge.
I'm just wondering if you can really tell.
Of course you can.
Oh, of course you can.
So when he reached in and felt the piece with the two long sides that were rough.
Oh, was that your paycheck I just got?
He knew that that was the one that had Tad's name on it. And Tad won the election.
Yippee!
So anyway, who's our winner this week?
Well, the winner this week is Doug Hilborn from Yellowstone Park, Wyoming.
No
Get
kidding.
Out.
Wow.
This guy lives in a park.
What is he, a moose?
Well, Doug Hilborn of Yellowstone Park, Wyoming, for having your answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division. And with that gift certificate, you can get our CD called The Hatchback of Notre Dame, More Car Talk Classics. Not to be confused with The Halfback of Notre Dame, or the fullback of Notre Dame.
Or Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. This is a collection of classic calls from the show. Anyway, congratulations to you, Doug Hilborn.
Whoop-dee-doo. Good work. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today, so stick around for that. In the meantime, the number to call if you'd like to reach us is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Sonia. I'm currently living in Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Now, there are lots of different ways to spell Sonia.
I spelled it the right way.
How did you spell it?
The way you do.
S-O-N-J-A.
Hey, you got it.
That's it. So what's up, Sonia?
Well, I bought a 1990 Toyota Camry from my uncle for $100 and a bottle of wine. And for every year the car runs, my uncle gets another bottle of wine. Now, my question
That's
to you
good.
Guys is, considering how old the car is and that there are many problems with the car, I'm wondering if my uncle is going to get another bottle of wine in a year's time.
Is this expensive wine or is this... what's the case price of this wine?
Well, I don't know.
Is it more than if it's more than $40 a case, then
I guess it depends on how well the car runs, really. But there's some major problems.
Well,
okay,
like
well,
what?
You tell us.
Well, first the clutch. If I quickly shift from first to second and second to third, the clutch grinds. However, if I change gears slowly, it doesn't grind.
Oh, that's not the clutch. That's the transmission.
Okay, the transmission then.
Yeah, that's even worse, but
oh, great.
Probably not going to become any worse than it currently is for a long time. So
okay, and if I baby
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and
if you
shift slowly, and there's no reason to shift quickly.
Right.
It'll go forever.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know.
Or at least
okay.
to the next bottle of wine. What else is going on?
Well, second, the engine squeaks. Now, when I shift gears a little bit, you know, roughly, the engine squeaks so loudly that the people on the sidewalk actually turn around to look where this ree-ree is coming from.
Oh, it screeches. Is it associated with your letting the clutch out and revving the gas up?
Oh, I don't... Well, it only happens when it's not a very smooth shifting of gears, when it's rough and the car kind of bounces around a bit.
Oh, so when it screeches, the car is lurching?
Yeah, and it squeaks. And my dad thinks it's because the engine is torquing, maybe?
Well, it could be. It sounds like you may have a bad motor mount.
A bad motor mount, okay.
Not usually something to worry about, but it can lead to the engine falling out on the street.
Okay. But
not a terribly expensive thing to replace.
Okay.
All right, next.
And last is that when I'm accelerating between the speeds of 40 and 50 miles an hour, the car shakes violently. But then it's only when I'm accelerating and after 5 minutes or so it stops.
Have you ever had this car checked out?
Oh, yeah. I definitely had a mechanic look it over. And
how long ago?
A month ago.
How many teeth did he have?
He had a full set of teeth.
All right. Well, just asking.
I mean, usually that's a tire.
Okay, good.
But
but you say it goes away?
Yeah, it stops shaking after 5 minutes or so.
Where do you feel it primarily?
In the steering wheel.
In the steering wheel. When you've gotten to 40 miles an hour, for example, if you were to back off with the accelerator and just coast, does the shaking go away?
No.
So it stays there?
Correct.
Okay. So, but if you were to go beyond 50 miles an hour or some speed, is there a speed at which it will go away?
No, it's an issue of time.
It's an issue of time.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to agree with my brother because it just...
I don't agree with me myself. I've changed my mind.
Well, I mean,
I don't think it is a tire anymore. I'm beginning to think it's a tie rod end.
No. You have a cylinder that's misfiring. Yeah. I'd be willing to bet if you sat it idle, you have a chance, Sonia, to make me sound brilliant. Or, as most callers do, make me sound stupid. If you were to sit it idle when the car is most likely to do this, the engine is not running perfectly smoothly, but is kind of running roughly at idle. And then other times, when it's not misbehaving like this, it's running smoother. Is that true? Can you see it in your heart to say it could be true?
It could be true.
It could be true. Because the passage of time, I mean, usually if something goes away after 3, 4, or 5 minutes, it means that something has cleared up. A bad ball joint or tie rod end is not going to clear up.
Right.
But if you have a cylinder that's misfiring, as the engine warms up and it begins to run more efficiently because it's hotter, it's possible that if a cylinder were not firing, then all of a sudden it could start to work and the thing would then run more smoothly, and especially during acceleration.
Okay.
And it would be worse if you were trying to climb a hill.
Yes, it is worse.
Oh.
There you go.
There you go.
Now, with these
I told you I didn't think it was a tire.
With these three problems, though, do you think that I can continue for another year?
Well, let's just review here for a minute. The first one we determined is the transmission, and if that conks out, that's going to cost you between $1,500 and $8,000. The squeaks, we already said that's probably a motor mount. That's going to be a couple of $100 up to $2,000 if the engine falls out and has to be scraped off the street.
Okay.
The misfire is probably due to bad rings and... an engine rebuilt is about $3,500. So you're looking at about $20,000. If we round off, you know.
On the other hand, the transmission, you could do nothing and just drive a little saner and don't shift quickly, and that will cost zero.
Right.
The engine mount, if you do something about it quickly, it'll cost $100 to replace. And what was the third one? Oh, the third one is the misfire, which could be a bad spark plug.
Exactly.
Or it could be
a spark plug wire.
A spark plug wire, we're talking about less than $100. It could be $200.
All right.
So it's from $200 to $20,000.
Okay.
It's a pretty big range, but we're rooting for the $200 end.
Okay. I'll bring it in.
You'll be able to drive to your uncle to deliver him the wine.
Okay,
instead
great.
Of sending it UPS. Good luck, Sonia.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steve in Orlando, Florida.
Steve, Orlando.
Yes.
What's going on, Steve?
Well, let's see. I have a 98 Pontiac Transport with about 112,000 miles on it.
Mm.
Okay, and the other day I was driving with my friend Marco, and he informed me that my dashboard Jesus was facing the wrong way.
Oh.
See, I had the dashboard Jesus facing out, you know, looking out the windshield, I thought blessing the road and the traffic, but he says it should be turned around facing into the car, blessing me as the driver. So I was hoping to get some sort of spiritual clarification on this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Marco is correct.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure, too.
Because, I mean, those little plastic statuettes, they can't deal with an entire freeway of cars and people. They have enough trouble dealing with one person, maybe two. So you can rely on it for the driver, a passenger, or maybe that little brat in the back seat that you're going to kill if she doesn't shut up. And that's about it. Unless you wanted to get a larger statue
and mount it on the roof.
Because the larger ones can adapt to a much bigger venue.
What if I just got more Jesus's?
Yeah, I mean, if you put 10 or 12 of them across the dashboard, I suppose you could leave one facing in and the other 8 or 9 facing the other way.
See, I never knew. I just always assumed that they would face the driver.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm actually happy now that cars have airbags and all these other restraint systems, because we can go back to making metal dashboards. I mean,
sure.
What have you affixed your plastic Jesus?
To the dashboard.
But not with a magnet?
No, with duct tape.
Oh,
yeah, or glue.
But imagine that magnetic saints disappeared with the advent of the plastic dashboard.
Yeah.
And so an entire industry was wiped out. People in Sandusky, Ohio, busy at work making those little magnetic bases for the plastic saints.
Yeah.
Which just...
What are they doing now in Sandusky, Ohio?
I don't know. Well, they're making duct tape, maybe. I don't know. But I think Steve, that you're...
Marco is correct.
That Marco's right. It has to face you.
Okay.
And after all, you're worried about just yourself anyway. The heck with everyone else on the road.
True enough.
As long as your plastic Jesus.
Or you can take the approach that you need more help than all those people out there.
Well,
thanks for bringing up a very controversial subject.
Not a problem.
Hey, great. I'm glad that we could shed some light on it for you, being, of course, the ultimate...
authorities.
I guess authorities on religious icons.
See you later, Steve.
Good luck, Steve.
Get a job. You need something to occupy your time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Michelle. I'm calling from Elk Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Michelle.
Michelle. What's up?
Well, I have sort of a marital dispute that I need you guys to settle.
Well, I'll let my brother take this.
No, I've had enough marital disputes in my life. Yeah, what's up?
We have a Toyota Tacoma, four-wheel drive. It's a manual transmission. When I park the car, I leave it in gear. He's convinced that it's hard on the truck to leave it in gear when it's parked, especially when it's on a hill. And, of course, I set the parking brake when it's on the hill. And he insists that I need to take it out of gear and leave it in neutral. And so I just need to know which one of us is right. I already know, actually. I just need you guys to tell us.
To corroborate that you're right. This is
That's
a
right.
manual transmission truck?
Yes, yes.
Has he seen the owner's manual?
Wait a minute. How big is your husband?
He's probably about 6 feet tall.
He hasn't got a violent temper, does he? I mean,
no, no temper.
Don't have to go after a couple of puny little radio show hosts.
He's a peaceful man.
He's a peaceful man.
Yes.
Man of the cloth, maybe?
No.
That would be even better. Because he's got his head up his keister.
Oh, you said it.
Yes. Yeah.
No, when you're parked on a hill, you've got to leave it in gear.
Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely. Not only is it not bad, it's bad not to.
It's recommended, strongly recommended, demanded, and even.
He's mousing in the background. Why?
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 Well, because
Why?
The engine will hold, even if the emergency brake failed, if you had the truck in either first or reverse, the compression of the engine would keep it from rolling down the hill.
Okay.
And that's all that would keep it from rolling down the hill.
And he thinks the problem is that it's holding the car in place and it's resting on the gears or something.
It is, but the gears can take it.
The gears can take it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You could leave that thing in reverse for 20 years and you could shift it out and it would hardly know, you wouldn't be able to tell that anything had been done to it.
Right.
Well, and if you still have the owner's manual, my brother is right. I'm sure that the owner's manual says that you should do this.
I'll refer him to that.
Whether you're parked on a hill or not, by the way.
Okay.
You should always be in gear when you're parked.
Okay.
Even if you're on a flat surface, and you should always set the handbrake.
Excellent.
Did you have anything wagered on this?
I can come up with something really quickly.
I'd get on it right away.
But he did say, I will do whatever the guys say.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Will he paint the house?
Right. That's a good wager.
Does he walk the dog?
Michelle, thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Where do people get these ideas?
But he's convinced her of this for all these years.
But she never did it.
She never listened to him.
She never listened. Sounds like our wives. Okay, before we get into trouble, let's take a short break here and get set up for the new puzzler.
Get set up? What does that mean? You're going to do some last-minute fact-checking? Check with a few Nobel laureates to be sure the answer is totally unimpeachable?
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of trying to find the piece of paper that I wrote it on.
All right. Well, if my brother can find it, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute. Stay tuned.
I got too many cars in my yard, but none of them will go too far. I got some on blocks and some for parts. I got too many cars in my yard.
And even though flocks of Canada geese open the old cargo doors over NPR headquarters whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, thanks for listening to Car Talk. Now here's another podcast that interests me. It's a new one from NPR called The Hidden Brain. Now, that title alone gives me some hope that I'll someday be able to find mine. Maybe it's just hiding. Actually, The Hidden Brain is hosted by NPR's Shankar Vedantam, who this week explores a conversational phenomenon called switch tracking. That's when two people think they are talking about the same thing, but then figure out they're not. That's the Hidden Brain podcast. Subscribe now on the NPR One app, iTunes, or npr.org/podcasts. And don't miss an episode. This episode of Car Talk and the following message come from SimpliSafe Home Security, the smart way to protect your home and family. SimpliSafe is award-winning home security that provides around-the-clock protection and is built by top engineers in the country. You can rest easy knowing your Sleepy LaBeef collection and Ginsu knife set are safe. There are no long-term contracts, so you're never locked in. Try it out, enjoy a 10% discount, and show support for Car Talk by visiting simplysafe.com/cartalk. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Go, baby!
The original idea of this was sent in by, I forget who it was, but we would have gotten ourselves in a lot of trouble if we'd lose his version. So I had to rethink it, reword it, and more importantly, re-unclarify it. You ready?
Yeah, okay.
Tim,
I'm gonna sit here and close my eyes and be one with the puzzler.
Okay. Tim and Jethro were happy to have their new jobs at the newest do-it-yourself gas station in town. And since the Farmer's Almanac had predicted this to be the coldest winter since the last ice age, they were happy to be working indoors while the customers pumped their own gas. And, in fact, this station was so modern, it even had a video camera for each of the pumps, so they could monitor the customers and almost never have to step outside. The video cameras were mounted overhead, and they were set up to show just the rear of each car as it rolled up to the pumps. Mm-hmm. That's so they could see the license plates, you know?
Yeah.
Well, when the boredom of the jobs finally set in, they began to play a little game. And the game was to guess which car pulled up with its fuel door on the wrong side. In other words, you know, some cars have the filler door on the right side and some have it on the left. And most of us can't remember which side our fuel door is on. And if you don't pull in with your fuel door on the same side as the pump, you have to back out and turn around and do all that maneuvering, right?
Yeah.
Now, as I said, the video camera showed only a straight-on shot of the back of the car. And at no time could Jethro or Tim see the sides of any of the cars where the fuel doors are. And they had to make their bets before the driver shut off the key and exited the vehicle. Hmm. So that they could see the back of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And before the guy shut off the key and got out and did the, you know, hitting of the head, like, oh, stoop, you went through, you have to move the car, they had to make their wagers. Well, Jethro was correct like 99% of the time. And Tim was correct about 50% of the time because he was just guessing.
Yeah.
Which leads to a very important question. Why aren't we right at least half the time? Anyway, the question is, what did Jethro know that Tim did not? Now, Jethro claimed that he could tell by the license plates. But we knew that that was probably what?
Bogus.
Bogus, right. So the question is, what did Jethro know that enabled him to tell when a driver had pulled up to the pump with the fuel door facing the wrong way? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or in the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Now, I should mention that there are all kinds of hints in here.
There are.
I should mention that. I didn't say it was true.
I didn't notice
that. Also, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. Good luck. Why? Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John calling from Portsmouth, Virginia.
Hi, John.
Portsmouth, Virginia.
It's a new one on me.
Yeah, it's in the Tidewater area, if you know where that is.
Yes, yes, of course.
I have a question concerning tires.
Yeah.
The other day, about a week ago, my wife noticed when she came out of work that one of her tires was low on pressure. She drove home. I came home later that evening as I worked two jobs, so I get home late. And the tire was then flat. I decided I would change it in the morning, which I did. She drove to work. Took it to a automotive repair center across the street from her office, and they informed her that the sidewalls were permanently damaged and that the tire had to be replaced. Now, this is a tire with 10,000 miles on it. My question is this, in fact, possible? And if not, did we get ripped off?
Oh, no, it's...
It's very possible. It's very... unusual for a tire with only 10,000 miles to be destroyed, but you can do it because the sidewalls are not something that are in contact with the road.
Usually.
So they don't wear out, so to speak. They only get damaged if you drive up against a curbstone or some such thing.
Or if the tire is so flat that you are in fact now riding on the sidewalls, or what you're doing in a sense is deforming the sidewall because of the very low air pressure in the tire. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
That the sidewall is doing something that it wasn't intended to do.
When she drove it home, how low was it?
I said it was about half deflated, so
half.
The sidewalls weren't making contact with the pavement.
No.
I got home 3 hours later, and by then it was flattened down to the ground.
Yeah, and that may be when the damage
took
place.
And you left it sitting there like that all night.
Yeah, that was the issue that I'm concerned about. Did my laziness cause that tire to go bad, or is that irrelevant?
Yeah, well, what would you like our answer to be?
Well, it's going to cost me $65 if your answer is in her favor.
Well, for one thing, these are relatively new tires. If you brought it back to the place where you bought the tires.
Oh, these are original issue. It's a brand new car.
Well,
it is.
They're warranted. The tires are warranted by the tire manufacturer.
Yeah.
You know, so if
you go
fact,
to a dealer who sells those tires, they might well make a deal.
Even though it would be thought of as possibly driver error?
Well, if it is, then they'll throw you out in your ear. So wear some protection. You know. But ordinarily, if they deem it not to be your fault, then you may be entitled to get some kind of a discount. But they may determine that it's just your fault and you'll have to pay for the whole thing. You know, and obviously you have to tell them the whole story. Say, look, this is what happened, and it sat overnight. And, you know, we've had many cars that have had flat tires and sat on them for hours or days at a time, and then when the tire was inflated— it was okay and not dangerous. And it may be that what caused the tire to lose air in the first place was that the sidewall got damaged by having struck something.
Well, when I took the tire off, I looked at it, and I thought what I saw was a construction staple, that the kind they shoot out of those pneumatic guns.
Oh.
I saw that not in the sidewall, but in the tread area.
Yeah, well, that could have made the tire go flat. Well, here's what you do. You've obviously done nothing yet, right?
No, she bought the tire.
She bought the new tire. Well, I think you take this thing, back to these guys. You bought the exact same tire?
No, it...
Because they didn't sell that brand.
No, that's correct.
You've got to go back to a place that sells that particular brand of tire and tell them that if nothing else, you want a replacement for it or you want money. And if they say, oh, yeah, of course, we'll give you another tire, then you can go back to the first guys and say, look, here's your tire back. I want my money back. Because they should have been honest enough to tell you, hey, go take this to the Goodyear place or wherever and see if they'll give you another tire.
Well, see, there's the rub. My wife and I both think that because she's a woman that she was taken advantage of, figuring that she doesn't know much about cars.
Yeah, little did they know that you know less.
True.
But that often happens, and that's why you should go to the fellows who made this tire, and if they'll make good on it, then you have every reason to go back to the guys who sold her the tire and ask for your money back.
Okay.
That's fair, isn't it?
Sounds like a good plan.
Good luck, John.
Okay, thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And quit one of those jobs. You're going to work yourself into an early grave.
Well, actually, I'm trying to pay off my mortgage so I can get that done before I'm in my grave.
Oh, yeah.
We just bought a new house in preparation for retirement, and I'm going to retire in 6 years, so I've got to triple the payments to get it paid off.
All right, well, I guess if you get five jobs, you can be done in 8 months.
Well, there's not enough hours in the day for that. But.
Yeah, well, you got to be creative with the punch cards. See you later, John.
Okay, thanks.
Hi.
My wife is paying me not to retire.
And everyone else is paying you to retire. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kelly from Syracuse, New York.
Hi, Kelly.
With an I-E or a Y?
Just a Y.
It is.
I have a part relationship and part car question for you.
Uh-huh.
My mother has a car that used to be my sister's car, and she would like to sell it to my boyfriend. And I'm wondering if you have any advice about selling a car to someone you actually want to remain friends with.
Well, what kind of a car is it, and how old is it?
Well, it's a 1999 Ford Escort SE.
And why is the boyfriend interested in this car?
Well, he's living in Chicago right now, where we both used to live together.
Uh-huh.
And he got a job at Virginia Tech. So he needs to move there. And in order to get around in Blacksburg, he's going to need a car to get to and from work. And we just happened to have this car that was ready to be sold because my sister went to college.
Uh-huh.
And where are you going to be in this scheme?
Well, right now I still have my contract in Syracuse.
So how much longer do you plan to be in Syracuse before you can be reunited with him? Which I assume is the plan.
Well,
maybe.
Theoretically, yes. I suppose it depends on how well our relationship goes.
Yeah.
Up until then, and I suppose the car could have a significant impact in that.
Well, I think the relationship may last longer than the car.
The car seems to be in pretty good shape. It doesn't have very many miles, only 70,000.
But you may not see him for a couple of years.
Oh, well, we see each other pretty often, like every month or so, at least.
Oh. Even though he's going to be in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the advantages of him having a car is he could drive up to see me.
Well, on the weekends that he's not seeing his other girlfriends.
Right, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the problem with giving him mobility.
Yeah, right. Good point. I didn't think of that.
You didn't think of that, yeah. What if you had the car and you went to visit him? Get him a bicycle.
I mean, there are so many cars available in the world for sale.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't see that it's necessary to complicate relationships with cars.
Well, does your mother like your boyfriend?
Yes.
Why isn't she going out with him?
Well, she has a boyfriend of her own who is also interested in the car.
Ah.
But my boyfriend, we offered it to him first.
The question, are they interested in the cars more than they're interested in you?
I don't know. Maybe my mom's boyfriend. I think my boyfriend, he's never had a car in the States before. He's Spanish. And so I think he'll just be happy with whatever kind of car he can get.
I think you sell him the car, your boyfriend.
Okay.
You give him a good deal on it.
Okay.
If the car turns out to be a jalopy, it'll be a test of your relationship.
Oh, no.
I mean, cars have all kinds of possible things wrong with them.
And that's why your sister is eager to dump this beast.
Sure. I would stay the heck out of it.
No, sell him the car. Give him a good price. If the car fails.
Yeah?
If something fails, it will be a test of his devotion to you and his maturity.
Oh.
You'll see if he can handle it. If the engine blows up, you say, what's his name? What's this guy's name?
Diego.
Diego.
Yeah.
Diego, things happen, and
he'll say,
I'm going to predict that he's going to say,
this is a 20-year-old kid. What does he know about anything?
He's closer to 30.
That he should be in possession of sufficient maturity to deal with something like a blown engine.
Well, I was less concerned about the engine blowing up than I was about, you know, the bumper stickers that are on there and the smell of the air freshener and that kind of thing. It's also been in a couple accidents, but it's all fixed up now. And so, you know, I just was wondering how much of that we should reveal to him. And
Kelly. Take my advice.
Now, I would expect my brother to say, already you're behaving like typical women.
my advice to you is stay the heck out of it.
So I should stay out.
The car, you don't know anything about the car. You mentioned the car to him, but what do you know? Your mother already made a deal with her boyfriend. The car is gone. Diego, you're going to have to find your own damn car.
No, sell him the car. Here's my advice. Sell him the car. Let the chips fall where they may. Whatever happens, happens. Charge him as much as you can possibly get for the car, because I think he's going to get the car and run anyway. That's my advice.
It's like a litmus test for the relationship.
Absolutely a litmus test. Yeah.
Well, you do what you think is best, Kelly, but I
know. And I'm glad that we were able to help.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk, and I do mean squandered. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frogman, cute, Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Risman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Biarritz, Harmony Grits, Bacon Bits, and Banana Splits, live by your wits but eat with your mitts, lunch and blitz, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our document security expert from the island of Jamaica is Euripides Upman, who is not related to our tailor, Euripides Imenides, or to our staff bouncer, Euripides I Break Your Face, or to the proprietor of our men's clothing shop, Euripides Euonides. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Arvindo. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our head of covert operations is Dinah Tell. And our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our curator of Dionne Warwick Studies is Isaiah Little Prayer. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Trustafarian panhandlers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Get a podcast of this show, which is number 1539, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, drivers who show up on Uber's app but don't actually exist, a breathalyzer for pot, and the latest recalls that probably should have happened like years ago. It's all in Car Talk's auto news blog. Car Talk's auto news, the auto news no one else is covering, now in an easily deletable format over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Pope Francis praised the Pope Mobile, it's still under warranty whenever he hears us say it. This is NPR.